along with a new liturgical year, which of course we began last week with the first Sunday of Advent, comes a new gospel. In year B of the lectionary cycle, you'll recall that we read Mark's gospel, the shortest of all of the four gospels, which is also sprinkled with parts of John's gospel to fill in the gaps. And remember, Mark's style was very, very poignant, very, very pointed, if you will, short sentences, very much to the point, not of a lot of elaboration, used the word immediately many, many, many times. He was trying to make a direct point about who Jesus was. It was the fulfillment of the promise of coming of the Messiah and the Son of God. That was the mission that Mark set to undertake in his gospel. We have a completely different perspective from St. Luke. St. Luke looks at our Lord in a historical way and in a very faithful way. Think about what I just read, if you'll recall. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor, and so-and-so was tetrarch of this, Philip, and the other one from Abilene, in the year of Anna and Caiaphas, he wants to put all that out there. He wants to put in context what is happening. He wants to put it into an historical context so that the reader in the future, and he's writing with a deep and abiding faith, so that the reader in the future will know exactly when the events that he chronicles in his gospel took place. Luke is the only gospel writer that has an account of the narrative of John's birth, if you will, and his naming. And he's the only one, of course, that has a full accounting with the manger and all of that of our Lord's birth. Again, in the year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Quirinius was governor, you know the account from Christmas Eve. And so Luke wants us to know the historical facts about what the context is that he is writing. And in that context this morning, we have appear on the scene, as we do both in Advent and in Lent, the great and last prophet, John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist is kind of a quirky character, is he not? And notice that Luke doesn't tell us about the fact that he wears the leather girdle and eats locust and wild honey. He doesn't care about that. He cares more about the context of how it is happening. And John the Baptist, of course, is the son of a priest, and so he's a little quirky anyway. And so he goes out into the desert, and then he receives the call. And he answers the call readily. I've been following, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the author, she's an Episcopal priest, Fleming Rutledge. Anybody know Fleming Rutledge? She is a wonderful, magnificent speaker, preacher, and writer. And she has a new book out, Advent, the Future and Former Coming of Christ, Pastor Ronnie? Oh, help me out. No.
I don't remember.
Advent, the Future and Coming of Christ. And in it, I don't have the book, but I've read excerpts, she talks about the fact, as I mentioned last week, of the second coming of Christ is what Advent's about. Remember, it's not about preparation for Christmas, so put all that aside. It's about preparing for Christ coming again. And John is that voice crying in the wilderness, you know, make straight the ways from the prophet Isaiah, you know, that which is rough shall be made smooth, and that which is crooked, and that's a wonderful word, will be made straight. And so he's preaching to those people who really don't want to hear what he has to say. He is preaching to the authorities, and that's why Luke puts in there Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, Philip the Tetrarch, Anna and Caiaphas. All those authorities, John is calling to repentance. He is saying something is about to happen, and you better be ready. You better have your ducks in a row, because he that is mightier than I, whose sandal I am not worthy to untie, is coming. And he is preaching the fact that we must be repentant of our sins and turn back to God. Now, the people heard that, and the people came in droves. We don't hear in Advent, of course, about the baptism of our Lord. We hear that in Lent. But the people took heart to what John said. And many thought, indeed, he was the Messiah to come, but he was not, because John always pointed to him who was greater than he, and that is the Lord Jesus. But John had the courage, and as Fleming Rutledge said, he was indeed a counter-culture individual. In other words, he stood against the world as it was organized. And he said, there is something wrong with this hot mess that we're living in, and it's time to change. And again, many people heard, but many people were very upset by that. And finally, it of course led to his beheading and his death. But in the meantime, he puts the word out there. It's time to change your lives. And again, he says it to all those powers and authorities that will not only put him to death, but eventually will have our Lord crucified as well. But he has the courage, and he has the faith, and he has the will, and above all, he has that burning sense of God's mercy and love that he's trying to impart, to have the courage to say it to the people. And he did so with gusto, and he did so without fear or without shame. And so when we hear next week in the gospel, you brood of vipers, who told you to flee before the wrath that was to come? It's not out of anger. It's not out of, condemnation or condescension. It's out of love. He's saying, turn your lives around. Turn to the Lord. What path are you on? And I ask you, what path are you on? Is Advent a time for you to walk closer with God? I hope and pray, and I hope this was a fruitful week for you as you let go of all of those things that I mentioned last week, perhaps you were holding on to that didn't keep you from moving a little closer to God. So the question I pose to you this week is, what path are you on? John the Baptist was saying to the people, you are very likely on the wrong path. But like my theology professor, God rest his soul, Dr. Peter Toon, used to say, repentance is about making a U-turn. And he would draw it on the chalkboard, a U-turn. He would say something like this, you're going in this direction, and you know you're not supposed to be going in this direction, and then God strikes your heart, your conscience, and you make a U-turn, and you turn back to God. That's what true repentance is about. And it can happen many times. Sometimes we make left turns, sometimes we make right turns, sometimes we make U-turns, and we make U-turns again. That's okay. That's all right. Because God, in his infinite love and infinite mercy, always allows that forgiveness. And that was the message that John was saying. It is to be called to repentance, and it is knowing that when we are, and we're contrite, and we ask for forgiveness, we are forgiven without a doubt and without any question at all. So on this, the second Sunday of Advent, what path are you on? And what U-turns, perhaps, or maybe right turns, or maybe left turns, do you need to take to walk closer with the Lord as we prepare both for his incarnation and his second coming? And in preparation for that, we'll have a moment of silent prayer, and then we'll make our humble confession to Almighty God, devoutly kneeling.